श्री नरसिम्हा जय जय श्री नरसिम्हा। प्रह्लादेश जय पद्मा मुख पद्मा वृंदा उग्रं वीरं महाविष्णुं ज्वलन्तं सर्वतोमुखं नरसिंहं मे क्षणं भद्रं मृत्युर्मृत्युर्नमाम्यहम्। हरे कृष्ण। I want to thank all of you for coming today for this festival and also giving me an opportunity to share with you the glories of Lord Narasimha Dev and Prahlad Maharaj. On this most auspicious occasion, I also seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially my most worshipable senior devotees of Srila Prabhupada, disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are here, and all the other Vaishnavas as well. Thank you for your wonderful love and support. There is so much I can speak about the Bhaktivedanta Manor Dham, about the wonderful devotees here. When we come here for 1 month, this time we were here for 5 weeks, just seeing the wonderful devotional service of all the Vaishnavas here inspires us a lot. I remember last year, Narasimha Chaturdashi class here attending, Shuchadharma Prabhu gave a beautiful class. So everything we do here in our 1-5 week stay registers a deep impression in our hearts. So I want to thank you for this wonderful service. Hare Krishna. Today, on the occasion of Narasimha Chaturdashi, I was thinking we could speak from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 7th canto. And this will be very purifying to the heart. And I'm especially going to speak a few verses from the Bhagavatam, which if we meditate upon, we'll see how we can feel the presence of the Lord in our lives. Ultimately, whatever we are doing, all the different activities we are doing in bhakti is ultimately so that we can always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That's what Rupa Goswami says. The essence of all the rules and regulations is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Like the beautiful drama the children performed, and Jayadev Prabhu was leading that amazing kirtan. I had never heard something like that in my whole life. Narasimha Dev, you know, it was. So why are we doing all this? Ultimately, we all want to love Krishna, and this is the way we all develop our dormant affection for Krishna. It awakens in our heart. So these are very important verses in the Bhagavatam. But before that, we need to remember the Lord's appearance. Why the Lord appears and how the Lord appears? He comes in different forms, right? We know he comes as a fish incarnation. He is known as Matsya Avatar. When he comes as tortoise, Kurma. And when he comes as half man, half lion, we know him as Narasimha Dev. The Bhagavad Gita very clearly explains, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tektva deham punarjanma Neiti mameti so Arjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna that one who understands that my birth, my appearance, my activities are all transcendental, will never take birth again. So, if we simply understand this fact that Krishna is wonderful, transcendental, and he comes in different incarnations to attract our hearts towards him, and all these manifestations of the Lord are transcendental, they are not material. Like recently we were at the Gurukul and Mother Guru Padma was telling us to talk to the children, and Gaur Gopal Prabhu had a very nice story. In Jagannath Puri, all of you must have gone to Jagannath Puri or at least heard about the pastimes of Lord Jagannath. There is a very special laddu that is offered to Lord Jagannath there. And the tradition of this laddu is, one day when this laddu was offered by the pujari, and after the offering to Lord Jagannath, the Mahaprasad was given to the king. And the king ate that laddu. And it was so hard that his tooth broke. And being the king, he could order anything. So he ordered this laddu offering should stop because Jagannath should not be fed such a hard laddu. So he stopped the offering. And that night, Lord Jagannath appeared in the dream of the king and said, why did you stop this offering of this wonderful special laddu? And the king replied in the dream that, my dear Lord, I love you. I can't see such a hard laddu being offered to you. And when you bite it, when I bit it, my tooth broke. So I'm imagining how difficult it must be for you to eat it. And Lord Jagannath said, my dear king, this devotee offered this laddu with so much love. Yes, it was very hard. But I didn't eat it. I appeared in my form as Lord Narasimha Dev. And I ate that laddu. Because I love to reciprocate with the love of my devotees. And you know, Lord Narasimha Dev has very strong teeth. And then the king woke up and he declared that this laddu offering should never stop. So even today, this is a special laddu offered to Lord Jagannath. It is called as Narasimha Laddu. And after it comes off the altar, the pujaris break it. They crush it into powder and they offer it as Mahaprasad to everyone. But this is a beautiful pastime which shows how Lord appears in different forms to reciprocate with devotees. So when we are in danger, we spontaneously call out to Lord Narasimha Dev, which is same Krishna. When we want to follow ideal moral standards and high integrity, we remember Lord Ram. So like this, Lord appears. And when we are feeling dry, our hearts are, you know, it's filled with a vacuum and we want to feel loved, we remember the all-attractive Krishna. So Lord appears in beautiful forms and Narasimha Dev has a special place in our lives. If you see, the most exciting dramas in ISKCON are on Narasimha Dev. Every year we have dramas on Narasimha Dev in the temple where I stay also. And if you ask any of the children, their favorite incarnation is Lord Narasimha Dev. And the first prayer the children learn is Narasimha Arati. Isn't it? And even grown-ups, I have seen, when we come new to Krishna consciousness, one thing that really attracts us is the prasadam. And other than prasadam, one of the first things we pick up and we are spontaneously attracted to is the Narasimha prayers. We keep humming it. I remember my initial days, I would hum it all the time. Just, it's so attractive. The Tavakara Kamalavare prayers. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Narasimha Dev pastimes with Prahlad Maharaj is a very special place because which is the longest pastime in the Bhagavatam? Krishna pastime. How many chapters are covered? In the 10th canto, there are 90 chapters on Lord Krishna. The second longest pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam after Lord Krishna is Prahlad and Narasimha Dev. And this, there are 10 chapters in the 7th canto, the first 10 chapters, and more than 650 pages. So I won't speak all of that today. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended to all of us that we should read Srimad Bhagavatam, we should study Srimad Bhagavatam and fill our lives with Krishna. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the same Krishna, it's the same Narasimha Dev who appears in the book form. When we render submissive oral reception to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we actually are associating with Lord Krishna, with Lord Narasimha Dev. And do you know how many times Lord Chaitanya would hear Prahlad Narasimha pastime from Gadadhar Pandit? Gadadhar Pandit would speak the Narasimha Dev pastime and after he would finish, what would Lord Chaitanya tell him? Say it again. Then he would speak the whole pastime again. And after he finished, Lord Chaitanya would say, once more, Gadadhar, once more. And the same 10 chapters, Gadadhar Pandit would speak again. So when I heard it first time, I was bewildered. How can somebody keep hearing the same pastime again and again and again? And you know how many times he would speak? 100 times. More than 100 times. Then after that, Lord Chaitanya would say, now speak Dhruva Maharaj pastime. And that would go on for another 100 times. So this is the power of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are two kinds of people, like we are sadhakas, we are struggling in our bhakti, and we have advanced Vaishnavas. For both category of devotees, Bhagavatam is recommended. And both category of devotees approach Bhagavatam differently. The advanced Vaishnavas, when they read Bhagavatam, they are intoxicated, they are in a transcendental state. But for us, Sanatana Goswami has told us how we should approach Bhagavatam. मदेक बंधु मत संगीन मत गुरो मत महाधना मत निस्तारक मत भाग्य मदानंदा नमोस्तुते. आई ऑफर माय रिस्पेक्ट टू श्रीमद भागवतम बिकॉज सनातन गोस्वामी सेज आई हैव ओनली वन ट्रू फ्रेंड मदेक बंधु एंड दैट इज श्रीमद भागवतम. मत संगीन माय इंटीमेट असोसिएट इज श्रीमद भागवतम. मत गुरु माय स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर इज श्रीमद भागवतम. मत महाधना माय ग्रेटेस्ट वेल्थ इज श्रीमद भागवतम. मत निस्तारका माय डिलीवरर फ्रॉम दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड इज श्रीमद भागवतम. मत भाग्य माय ग्रेटेस्ट फॉर्च्यून इज श्रीमद भागवतम. मदानंद नमोस्तुते माय ग्रेटेस्ट सोर्स ऑफ ब्लिस इन लाइफ इज श्रीमद भागवतम. एंड गदाधर पंडित एंड चैतन्य महाप्रभु एट दिस लेवल दे वर एक्सपीरियंसिंग ग्रेट ब्लिस. So when I heard it first time, I was really bewildered. How can somebody experience so much bliss hearing the same pastime again and again? And my confusion and this puzzle which was there, it got solved when I heard a very fascinating analogy given by His Holiness Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, who is an associate of and a friend of Godbrother of Srila Prabhupada. So he gave a very good analogy which I, with my dull head and mind, could understand and immediately know what kind of ecstasy Lord Chaitanya is experiencing. So Sridhar Maharaj would say that there is a man in love and is heartbroken. And his friend tells him, "My dear friend, don't worry, come with me." And he takes him to a liquor bar. And they both are sitting in the bar. And this friend says, you know, "Don't worry, your heart is broken. Don't feel so much pain. I'll alleviate your suffering. Please take some liquor." And he pours liquor in his glass. And this man is already saddened. He's heartbroken. And to remove the pain of his separation, he starts drinking. And after drinking a few glasses again and again, he keeps pouring. And this man is drinking and he's crying, remembering his lover, remembering his beloved. And he's drinking, crying, and he says, "Give me more. This is the way I can forget my pain." So this friend offers more and more liquor. So they keep drinking the whole day. And in the end, this man would say, "Because you are giving me this drink and you are helping me forget the pain, you are my real friend." And he embraces him and cries tears of joy. Now this is an example from the perverted material world. But the point is, Maharaj would say, Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Maharaj would say, that in the purified sense, Lord Chaitanya was like that intoxicated lover. He was feeling intense separation from Lord Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit was helping him overcome the pain of his separation by feeding him the intoxicant of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Mahaprabhu would hear, you would get so much ecstasy and you would feel some of that pain mitigated. And therefore you would embrace Gadadhar Pandit again and you would tell him, "You are my real friend. You are giving me the nectar of life." So this is the way they understand. This is the way they relish. Now I know the question that you may have in your minds, which I also have. But how do we connect to Bhagavatam? We don't have that ecstasy. We don't have that relish. So for us, Rupa Goswami has explained very beautifully. Srila Prabhupada writes this in Nectar of Instruction. Syat Krishna Nama Charitadi Sitapa Vidya Pitto Patapta Rasanasya Narochikanu Kintva Daradanu Dinam Kaluseva Jushtha Svadvikramad Bhavatitad Gadamulahantri. Rupa Goswami says, at our state, we are like a person suffering from the disease of pitta. For such a person, he needs to take sugarcane juice, which is very sweet. The sugarcane juice is the solution, the medicine for those suffering from bile, from pitta. But unfortunately, because the disease is so acute, when he takes in sugarcane juice, he finds it extremely bitter. He wants to spit it out. He can't stand that sugarcane juice, but he knows it's the medicine. So he takes it with great reverence, great faith. And as he starts intaking the sugarcane juice, slowly he gets cured. And not only he gets cured, but he also starts recognizing and experiencing the real taste of sugarcane juice, which is sweet. Similarly, Rupa Goswami says, we need to hear Bhagavatam. We need to chant Hare Krishna. We need to hear this transcendental sound even if we find it difficult. Because that is a medicine. And as we hear more and more, our heart would get purified. And that original love for Krishna, that Bhagavatam which is actually sweet like the sugar cane, we would all experience that sweetness. Therefore, let us not underestimate the potency of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and the Lord's pastimes as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, for pure devotees, Prabhupada said, Pibata Bhagavata Rasamalayam Muhur Haho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. They are Rasikas. They are madly in love with Krishna. For them, Bhagavatam sound means an intoxicant, which will increase their love. But for us, it is a medicine. And if we are sincere, trust me, generally in Ayurveda, medicines are bitter. But this is different medicine. The Bhagavatam says, what kind of medicine is this Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam itself reveals. Nivritta tarsher upagiyamanat bhavau sadashotra manobhiramat kautama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashugnat. A killer of the soul will not be attracted to Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami is speaking strong words. And then he says, if we simply hear Bhagavatam, all the pain in the heart, all the dukkha, distress would go away. And this is a unique medicine. Bhava aushadi. Aushadi means medicine. But what kind of medicine? Bhava aushada shotra manobhiramat. If we hear carefully, this medicine will cure us and also make us ecstatic. Medicines are generally not like that. Ayurveda medicines. But this is, I think, Bhagavatam is more like homeopathy medicines. You know, when we were young, we would take homeopathy medicines. I remember. Even if we are not very sick, and generally we want to avoid medicine, but homeopathy medicine, we were told to take 3 pills, we would take 7 or 8. Because it is sweet. So Bhagavatam is like that. It is curing our heart of the disease, and at the same time, the Bhagavatam also does what? It's pleasing to the senses. It's pleasing to the ear. So, please, let us absorb ourselves in the pastimes of the Lord. I know some of us, we already know this pastime, right? But although we know, when we hear the same pastime, somewhere our conscience is awakened. We start aligning ourselves to the true North principles. We start connecting to Krishna again. And Srila Prabhupada emphasized that we hear and chant Lord Narasimha's prayers because we all need protection from so many dangers outside of us and also inside. When Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles in 1969, the devotees were going for Rath Yatra and they were preparing themselves. And one early morning during Mangalarati, some people, they threw a pipe bomb inside the temple. And it was a powerful bomb. It broke all the windows and the doors and devotees got seriously injured. They were rushed to the hospital. And a few hours later when things settled down, Srila Prabhupada came down and he met all the devotees. And that's when he taught them this prayer, the Narasimha prayers. And he said, we should always remember Lord Narasimha Dev for protection. And 3 years before that, in 1966, when Srila Prabhupada got a heart attack and devotees had admitted him in the hospital, and then Prabhupada left the hospital and he came back to the New York temple and he told the devotees this mantra. So this is very important for us to remember Lord Narasimha Dev. And when we hear this pastime which we already know, our faith increases. Our desire to pray to Lord Narasimha Dev becomes stronger. So the pastime begins like this. I just gave an introduction now for the last 10 minutes. Now we'll enter the pastime. The background of this pastime is the first chapter of 7th canto where Parikshit Maharaj asks two very interesting and contradictory questions to Shukdev Goswami. Very interesting conversation. Now, one thing about Bhagavatam is the conversations are so fascinating. The whole Bhagavatam was spoken by Suta Goswami to sages in Naimisharanya. And Suta Goswami tells the sages at Naimisharanya a conversation between Shukdev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. And Shukdev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj a conversation between Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. And Narad Muni tells Yudhishthir Maharaj, what Hiranyaksha, the demon, is giving instructions to his mother and sister-in-law. And Hiranyaksha, while instructing his mother and sister-in-law, tells them about a conversation of a young boy, actually Lord Yamaraj, Yamaraj himself comes. Yamaraj instructs the queens of one king. The king had died in a battle. So that is the conversation. And Yamaraj instructs what the conversation between the birds, the Kulinga birds. So you can see how deep you can enter Bhagavatam. So that is there. That opportunity is there. So Sukadeva Goswami asks two questions. So sometimes you may hear me say Narad Muni asks or Yudhishthir Maharaj asks or Vidura asks. You should know that ultimately it's Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. Suta Goswami and Naimisharanya Rishis. So Narad Muni, Parikshit Maharaj asks two questions. First he says, why is Lord Vishnu very partial? He is always favoring the devtas and is against the demons. Why? So immediately Sukadeva Goswami says, no, Lord is not partial, Lord is neutral. We find the Lord partial because we are influenced by the three modes of material nature. So then Parikshit Maharaj says, oh really, Lord is neutral. Okay, but then why is he so favorable to the demons? This is a contradictory question. Why is he so favorable to the demons that Shishupal was so envious of the Lord and still he was given liberation? How can Lord go to the other extreme? So Sukadeva Goswami says, this is the power of remembrance of Krishna. That even if somebody is a demon, but if somebody intensely remembers Krishna, he will get benefit. Yena kena prakarena manha Krishna niveshyat. Somehow just connect to Krishna. Of course, that's not favorable devotional service and we don't recommend that. But we need to know that if somebody is so envious of Krishna, he could get benefit. How much more benefit we would get? Sometimes when we hear these pastimes in the Bhagavatam, we should know this is not to encourage us to be envious. Like if a college, if a university makes an advertisement that, and if it's known to everyone that somebody who joins his university and he doesn't study well, and if even if he flunks the test, he is given a job with a six-figure salary and he is given a lot of holidays and perks and a huge mansion to stay. So this is to, so we should not get the wrong kind of inspiration. A student won't think that, oh, let me enter this university and let me fail. An intelligent person would think, if this is a reward for failing, what more is available if I pass the test? So that is the mood in which we approach Bhagavatam. Oh, Shishupal was so envious and he got so much benefit. So if I love Krishna, what will I get? So then Sukadeva Goswami says, and my dear Parikshit Maharaj, Shishupal was after all Jai Vijay. They were all brothers. And then he tells the pastime of how Lord Vishnu, Vaikuntha, what happened? Jai Vijay came as Ravan Kumbhakaran, Shishupal Dantavakra and Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And while speaking this, Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthir Maharaj that this Hiranyakashipu, he was such a rascal that he tormented his own son Prahlad. And Yudhishthir Maharaj was hearing attentively, immediately stops Narad Muni. He says, wait, what are you saying? How can someone torture his own son? And Prahlad is an embodiment of wonderful qualities. How can his own father want to kill him? And thus begins the narration of the pastime. Narad Muni starts explaining how Hiranyakashipu's older brother Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord in the form of a boar, Varaha incarnation. And now Hiranyakashipu said, I am going to take revenge. I am going to kill Vishnu because he killed my brother. But before I take revenge, he knew that, you know, he needs power. So he said, I'll do tapasya, I'll do penance. But before doing penance, Hiranyakashipu knew that he has to console his mother and sister-in-law because they are extremely distressed that Hiranyaksha has been killed. And you know what instructions Hiranyakashipu gives? This is some of the most amazing instructions. You will be shocked when you read this in the Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu speaks Bhagavad Gita. He explains to his mother and sister-in-law that how time is very powerful and we are influenced by the law of karma. We should be careful. And then he explains the story of how one Kulinga bird was killed and her partner was crying a lot in separation. But as he was lamenting, the hunter came and shot him also. So how if we unnecessarily waste our time in materialistic activities, we'll be miserable. So we should know that we are not the body, we are the soul. And after giving all these beautiful instructions, Hiranyakashipu goes to the Mandara mountain to perform austerities by which he can kill Lord Vishnu. What an amazing thing, right? Ironical. That's why we don't quote Hiranyakashipu in our classes. Like we say, Narad Muni says in the first canto. Or we say, as Ambarish Maharaj instructs us in the ninth canto. We say this, right? Many times. Or Vidura tells Maitreya Rishi about life. But we never say, as Hiranyakashipu says, we are not the body, we are the soul. We never quote like this. Why? Because he was not walking his talk. There is no congruency inside out. So ultimately, the character is more important. It's not simply learning of the verses and learning of the Bhagavatam. We need to practice what we are reading and preaching. Then there is some credibility. Otherwise, even Ravana was a great scholar, you know that? Ravana was a great Brahmin. So most important is the character and the integrity. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be very upset with his disciples if they cheated. Once some disciples, they lied to get funds for the Gaudiya Math. And when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur learnt about it, he fasted without water and food for the next few days as atonement. So this is not correct. So Hiranyakashipu goes to the forest, he performs austerities. Now, his heart is filled with so much anarthas. Hiranyakashipu, you know the meaning of the word? Hiranya means gold, Kashipu means a soft bed. So Hiranyakashipu basically means sex life and greed for wealth. Lust and greed, he symbolizes that. And he performs austerities, intense austerities. Hiranyakashipu controls the universal air by his breathing powers. He controls his own breath and he does such intense tapasya that fire starts coming out of his head. And all the living entities in the universe are unable to breathe because all the air, he controls it with this tapasya. So all the devatas, they run to Brahmaji and say, Brahma, please save us. So Brahma appears to Hiranyakashipu. And look at Hiranyakashipu, he's so intelligent. You know what a benediction he asks? He knows that, you know, everybody has to die because he saw his own brother die. But he wants to have a plan by which he will not die. So he tells Brahmaji, please give me a blessing that my death should not come from any living person or dead person created by you. Basically, nobody can kill me. I should not die inside the house or outside the house. I should not die in the earth or in the sky. I should not be killed by a human or an animal. I should not be killed by any weapon. And I should not die in the day or in the night. He tries all permutations and combinations. And besides all this, he also asks for 8 mystic perfections like anima, lagima, siddhi, prapti, which means you could become lighter than the lightest, you could become heavier, you could become invisible, you could fly in the air, you could do so many things. Ichcha shakti, you could just wish something and you could get. Like Srila Prabhupada says, his family guru's guru would just wave his hand and get a pomegranate from Kabul, Afghanistan. So there were people with mystic powers. So all these things he asks for, he has a grand plan to not die. Now look at this, irony of this. He doesn't realize that his brother was just killed recently. And you know how Lord killed his brother Hiranyaksha? Intense fight going on for many hours and the devtas start getting scared because they become fearful that if Hiranyaksha doesn't die, then he may take revenge on us. So they go and tell Lord Vishnu, please kill him fast. Don't keep us in anxiety. So then Lord Vishnu is bored after a long and nice fight. When the time comes to kill, there is no endeavor on part of the Lord. Lord just gives a tiny slap behind the ear. And Hiranyaksha dies. Hiranyakashipu knows this, that if the Lord wants, whenever he wants, he can kill. But still he is confident that I won't die. The modern times, many scientists are very nice people. They believe in universal power, God. But there are many atheistic scientists as well. And you know, they are confident that we are making so much advancement that very soon we are not going to die. Recently in MIT, which is, I think, arguably the best university in the world, Dr. Gerald Sussman, he was giving a talk to thousands of students and professors. And it is a landmark lecture where Dr. Gerald Sussman is telling his audience that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to announce that medical science is advancing so much. We are on the verge of a major discovery. And another few decades, we will conquer over death. And I'm happy to inform all of you that we are the last generation to die. And everyone clap. But I can see none of you are impressed. Because you know, the same statement was spoken millions of years ago by Mr. Hiranyakashipu. So devotees never get impressed by these statements. Because death will get us all, no matter how powerful we are. One may be the richest man in the world. Now, he can't say that I can bribe anyone and get things done. He can't bribe when Mr. Death comes to his house. Somebody may be very proud of her beauty. Some woman may be very beautiful. But she can't, however beautiful she is, but she can't seduce or entice Mr. Death. Somebody may be very strong physically, extremely strong. He cannot wrestle Mr. Death to submission. Somebody may be a great intelligent scholar. He cannot debate with Mr. Death. Okay, I'll defeat you. Somebody may be a great athlete. He can't outrun Death. Whoever we are, we all will have to face death. And Hiranyakashipu misses this simple point. And because Brahmaji says Tathastu, Brahmaji gives the benediction. And Hiranyakashipu starts terrorizing the universe. So we have completed one chapter. We are on the second chapter of the seventh canto. And he goes on a rampage. And he starts making all the demigods as his personal servant, except Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. All the devatas become his cook. They start massaging him. They start doing so many things for him. And he gets all kinds of pleasures. Anytime he wants anything. If it's not the mango season, he just wishes, let me get a mango. And he gets a beautiful mango. He could change the seasons according to his will. He could do what he wants. But interestingly, Shukadeva Goswami says, despite having everything, what was Hiranyakashipu's internal state? Do you know that? What was he going through inside? This is an amazing verse in the seventh canto. Saitam nirjita kakuba ekrad vishayan priyan atapi josha bunjano na tripyat ajitendriya. Ekrad, he was the unrivaled king of the universe. Atapi josha bunjano. He could enjoy as much as he wanted for as long as he wants. But still, na tripyat ajitendriya, he was not happy. Because his senses were not controlled. So imagine, you would say, what a fool. He got everything he wants, still is miserable because his senses are not controlled. Srila Prabhupada defines a demon very nicely in one purport. Generally we think a demon is a person who may be very tall with big horns coming out and, you know, teeth coming out and just some, you know, disfigured face. We may imagine a demon to be like that. But Srila Prabhupada writes in one place, one sentence which is so striking. He says, demon is he who works very hard without benefiting even himself. What a statement, right? Demon is somebody who works very hard without benefit to himself. So Hiranyakashipu did so much tapasya, he got so much power, but he himself is miserable. Na tripyat, no satisfaction. His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was telling us that when he was a young boy in school, when he was 8 or 9 years old, he remembers his teachers telling him in school that, children, when you grow up, people will be very relaxed because science and technology would advance so much that they'll have a lot of free time. And they'll have nothing to do. So you should become leisure time engineers. And they explained that how you should try to make things more comfortable for people. That will be a great profession. So then Maharaj was saying, do you think people are relaxed now? The way they are rushing to work, the way they have so many things to do. So basically, Maya is a taskmaster. She will never let us relax in peace. So as long as our senses are not controlled, we will be miserable. Because when senses are not controlled, we only keep asking. In India, we have a very famous mobile company, telephone company. So their slogan for advertising their mobiles is, "Ye dil mange more." My heart wants more. So they encourage you to desire more and more and more. So when we have that mentality, we'll be miserable. Bhagavatam is very clear. If your senses are uncontrolled, you'll be miserable. One poet, wise poet said, as a rule, man is a fool. Woman also, basically, everyone. As a rule, man is a fool. When it is hot, he wants it cool. When it is cool, he wants it hot, always wanting that which is not. This is our situation. And this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. 16th chapter, Krishna says, "E shastra vidhim usrija vartate kamakarata nasa siddhim avapnoti na sukham na param gatim." He'll never be happy. He'll never get highest destination if our senses are not controlled, if we don't follow the scriptures. And today, unfortunately, we have a lot of control over iPod. You know, see, when we have these electronic gadgets, we have access to the internet. We just can press one button and get all the information we need. So this gives us a false sense of control. This makes us feel that we are in control. No, but we are, if you think like that, we are just being tiny Hiranyakashipus. That's all. And we can have luxuries. In Mumbai, one of the world's richest men, he stays very close to our temple. He doesn't come to our temple though. His house is 5,000 crores rupees, which is like some billions of dollars. He has got the world's richest house. Huge. There are 400 servants in that house. And the family consists of 4 people. So some of the servants are serving the other servants only. And that building where he stays, it's called the intelligent building. I don't know. It seems it has some special features. So there are a lot of luxuries nowadays, but no necessities. We don't have, you know, we don't have fresh air to breathe. We don't have pure drinking water. But a lot of luxuries are there. A lot of gadgets are there. So we may increase our pleasures, but it will only make us more miserable. So Hiranyakashipu was going crazy. And he was enjoying, he was exploiting, but he was not happy. And when you're not happy, what do? You make others more miserable. So he was terrorizing the universe. And all the devatas this time realized, Brahmaji cannot help us. So they all went to Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu said something very nice. He told them, let Hiranyakashipu do what he wants. Don't worry. Just for some more time. But very soon, when he offends his son Prahlad, who is my greatest devotee, that time I will appear and destroy him despite all the boons he has received. Lord Vishnu directly says that if somebody offends my devotee, especially somebody like Prahlad, I will destroy him. He may have got all the benedictions, but I can find a loophole. I can keep Brahma's vow intact, but I'll also destroy him. Offense to Vaishnavas is extremely dangerous. And I remember Giriraj Maharaj explained to us once how Lord Narasimhadev protected Srila Prabhupada also when demons were attacking him in the Juhu temple, Radha Ras Bihari temple making. All of you know that Srila Prabhupada was confronted by a demon called Mr. N. Nair, you said that. Everybody knows Mr. N. So he was extremely nasty. So one day he came to Srila Prabhupada and he heard swear words. He actually spoke very dirty language. And he told Srila Prabhupada in front of his disciples that you are all CIA agents and you are claiming this property to be yours. I will come to your temple tomorrow and I'll break the deities and I'll break your temple. He actually cursed Srila Prabhupada. He actually spoke very heavy language and walked out. And he walked out of the house. And next day, he got a heart attack. And in a few days he died. And Srila Prabhupada heard, he was just quiet, he didn't say anything for some time. And then he said, Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki jai. He was a big demon. But he was not alone. Giriraj Maharaj explained how there were three other very big demons who were the support for Mr. N. And how Lord Narasimha Dev, because somebody is offending a pure devotee, how Lord Narasimha Dev takes care. He said there was one demon by the name Mr. Mahatre. He was the chairman of a trustee, of a trust, which had many schools and colleges. And he was Mr. N's right-hand man. And he was, you know what he was doing? He made millions of pamphlets. And that pamphlet would contain a lot of scandalous things about, you know, he ascribed scandalous behavior to ISKCON devotees. And very nasty things he wrote in that pamphlet. And those pamphlets were distributed at the nearby Vileparle and Santa Cruz railway stations in Mumbai. And millions of passengers are traveling in Mumbai's local trains. And they would all get these pamphlets. So he was trying to defame ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. And Narasimha Dev took care of him in a very spectacular way. One day, in all the newspapers of Mumbai, the headlines was, Mr. Mahatre was implicated in some illicit scandal with one of the teachers of his own school. And he was a well-known personality in Mumbai. But suddenly there were processions all over Mumbai with a huge photo of Mr. Mahatre garlanded with the shoes. And he became so infamous that he couldn't come out of his house for the rest of his life. So Narasimha Dev took care. Another demon who attacked Srila Prabhupada was Mr. Tembe. He was an MLA, member of the Legislative Assembly. He was an influential politician. So he thought of a nice strategy. He got all the life members together and he wrote them letters about how ISKCON is doing a lot of malpractices and we should stop this temple from coming up in Juhu. And you know, and he called for a secret meeting of some 1,000 life members. And they were all influential people in Mumbai, rich people. And in that meeting, he would have convinced all of them and stopped the Juhu project. And that meeting was to happen in the morning, 10 o'clock. And everything was set, everything was confirmed. And he went to sleep at night thinking that tomorrow morning, ISKCON is going to close down. I'm going to make this presentation. And morning when he gets up at 4, 5, when he got up in the morning, and suddenly he realized that is unable to get up from the bed. He was paralyzed completely. He couldn't do anything. And there was one more demon, Mr. Rane. He was a black magician. And Giriraj Maharaj was saying that how this man was so cruel that when, you know, the Mr. Nair died and then his wife continued the battle for the land. So what she did, one day, unknown to the devotees, suddenly the municipal office came with all their hammers and all the instruments and they started breaking the temple. And the devotees were protesting. All the devotees were thrown out by the police. And there were a few ladies who were taking care of the deities. They were very badly handled. And there was one Mataji, Maithili Mataji, her daughter Gandiva Mataji. So both of them were protecting the deities. So they were dragged by the hair and they were pulled by the police. And she, because they were entering the altar to break the altar. So they had broken all the hall and the different places in the temple. And as they were entering the altar, so Maithili Mataji was holding the deities and she was dragged. And when she was being dragged, she was crying piteously. And Mr. Rane was standing nearby. He started laughing. And when Maithili Mataji saw him, because that pain, because she wanted to protect Radha Krishna, in that pain she looked at him and she just blurted out, "The fire of your offense will burn you." And then he continued laughing. And then finally some devotees knew the famous politician of Mumbai and he helped. And last minute the deities were saved. The whole pastime happened and then Prabhupada gave a masterstroke plan. They said, we'll build the temple in the night, Friday, because the court said, we'll hear the case on Monday morning. But Friday night, Saturday and Sunday, it was raining heavily. The devotees made the temple, they made some makeshift temple because they said, if we ask for permission on Monday, we may not get from the court. But if we tell them we already have a temple, then we may have some hope. So they made some makeshift temple and Monday when the court came for hearing, the judge said, oh, the temple is already there. What is built is built. it cannot be broken now, or it cannot be stopped. So then the whole thing backfired. Anyway, so one day when these devotees are having Mangalarati in the temple, 4:30, and suddenly in the middle of the Mangalarati, they heard loud screams. Somebody is in great pain. And they all came out of the temple all to see, and they were shocked. Mr. Rane was right there outside the temple hall. He was in flames. There was fire all over his body. And he was charred to death right in front of devotees. And devotees were shocked. Because early morning, you don't see something like that. How often does anybody see something like that? And then they came to know what had happened. Mr. Rane was just next door neighbor of Jew temple. And he had got a doll of Srila Prabhupada. And he used to throw some sharp, piercing things on that doll. And he was trying to... You know, these black magicians have some techniques that if you harm that doll, Prabhupada would also get... That was the strategy. That Prabhupada's body would also be injured. But as he was doing it, he didn't realize that he was playing with fire. He was trying to do something to a pure devotee of Krishna, who is protected by Lord Krishna himself. So it is said in the scriptures that when somebody tries to commit violence towards a pure devotee, it boomerangs and it's you. So as he was attacking Srila Prabhupada through that doll, suddenly in a fit, in a moment of madness, he dropped everything, he ran to his own kitchen, he picked up the kerosene and he put it on himself and he lit a match. And when he lit the match, he realized what he had done. And he came running outside, but it was too late. Just charred to death. Shri Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki jai. So the moral of the story, let us not offend devotees. So Narad Muni is describing that Lord Vishnu said, when he offends my devotee Prahlad, I will come despite all the benedictions he has and I will kill him. And Narad Muni also tells Yudhishthira Maharaj that Hiranyakashipu could have been happy. Yeah, you know, Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was not the only son. He had four wonderful sons. But the problem was, Prahlad was the best. He was saintly. He was cultured. He had a wonderful character. His senses were in control. He was kind. He always considered himself as a servant of everyone. He respected everyone. He was free of all pride. He was exactly opposite of his father. And Narad Muni starts glorifying Prahlad. And when I read this, I was amazed because Narad Muni is spiritual master of Prahlad. See, in the Vaishnava culture, the spiritual master is so happy to glorify his own disciple. And as Narad Muni starts glorifying Prahlad, he tells Yudhishthira Maharaj, you know Yudhishthira, Prahlad is so glorious. Today we are glorifying him. And for the last million years we are glorifying him since this pastime happened. And thousands of years from now, also devotees will always glorify Prahlad. Basically, he's explaining how in 2018 also, on Narasimha Chaturdashi festival, devotees will come together and glorify. So Narad Muni is predicting that Prahlad is so wonderful. And Narad Muni then says, but Prahlad had an influence of a planet. You know, many people are worried, those who believe in astrology, they're worried about which planet? Rahu, Ketu, you know, all these evil influences we are worried about. So Narad Muni, while talking to Yudhishthira, says, you know, Prahlad was also influenced by one planet, because of which he was like this. Nesta krida nako balo jadavatan manastaya krishna graha grihitatma na veda jagadidrisham. Not Rahu graha, not Ketu graha, not Shani graha, krishna graha grihitatma. He was affected by Krishna Graha. Because of that, what happened? Nesta Krida Nako Balo. He had no interest in Krida. Means? No interest in the IPL that is going on now. He had nothing to do with that. 24 hours he was remembering Krishna. So like we have in amongst Vaishnavas, the ideal example for Shravanam, hearing, is who? Parikshit Maharaj. The best example for Kirtan is Shukdev Goswami. Best example for worshipping the Lord's lotus feet, Lakshmiji. We have different examples. Best example for Vandanam is Akrura. Best example for Archanam, deity worship, is Prithu Maharaj. And the best example for Smaranam, remembrance of Krishna, is Prahlad. He always remembered Krishna. And since our process is what? Bhakti process is based on always remember. I began the class by saying, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And the best example of that is Prahlad. So we can always remember Prahlad. Because if we remember Prahlad, we will be able to handle. Because what happens when you remember somebody who remembers Krishna, we will also get the same quality. And when we remember Krishna, then that pleasure of remembrance of Krishna will help us tolerate the suffering in this world. Because no one is spared. You know, sometimes people say, have you heard of this religion of the sword? Some religions are called as the religion of the sword. That if you don't follow our religion, we'll kill you. So one day when somebody said, you know, religion is a religion of the sword. So I said, our religion is also a religion of sword. Because the Bhagavatam says, Yadanudyasina yukta karma granti nibandhanam chindanti kovidastasya kona kuryat katharatim. Anudya, remembrance of Krishna is asina, sword. Remembrance of Krishna is a sword. And just like with a sword you can break all the, cut all the ropes that bind you. Similarly, when we remember Krishna, the sword of remembrance of Krishna will cut all the karma entanglements that we are bound with. Therefore, ours is also a sword religion. But it's a sword of remembrance of Krishna. When we remember Krishna, you know, we feel that pleasure of that little satisfaction that we experience. That makes us feel it's okay. This suffering, let me tolerate for some more time. So Narad Muni says, Prahlad is so great. He keeps glorifying Prahlad. As he's glorifying, Narad Muni says, and his father wanted to kill him. And again Yudhishthira Maharaj stops him. I just can't understand this. Why would a father want to kill a child who is so saintly? Okay, I can understand if the father is very heavy because the child is disobedient. He may chastise him. But Prahlad always thought of the welfare of everyone. He is the most noble son. How can a father kill his own son? I know many of you may be shocked. Not you, but many people who hear the first time this pastime, they think, how can somebody want to kill his own son? But if I, you know, when somebody asked me this question, I spontaneously remembered one of my friends. And when I remembered his story, I realized that what Hiranyakashipu was planning to do was not something shocking, because these things are happening even today. I have one friend who is an initiated devotee in ISKCON, who comes from a country that is very famous, infamous for manufacturing terrorists. It's a very, it's a country where practicing Vaishnavism is strictly banned. And if any of their citizens becomes a Hare Krishna devotee, he would be publicly executed. And we have 300 devotees there secretly practicing Krishna consciousness. So this Prabhu devotee is from that country. So when he came to India, I met him and I said, you're initiated. And I was shocked. He had come with his mother and sister. And he said, both of them are also chanting 16 rounds and they are also aspiring to get an initiation. And he said, we have 300 devotees secretly practicing bhakti in our country. I said, your mother and sister. And what about your father? He said, no, no, no. If he comes to know we three are devotees, he will kill all three of us. I said, what? He is your father, he doesn't love you. Oh, he loves us very much. But he said, you said he'll kill all three of you. Yeah, because he loves his religion so much that, you know, for him we are infidels. We have to be killed. So he doesn't know. So then I said, but then how can you take prasadam? You can't do anything at home. He said, no, we have devised a way out. We have done, we three of us meet, we chant together. I was amazed by his story. I said, but what about prasadam? You can't have an altar at home. He said, no, we have a very special altar. And you know, he showed me his mobile phone and he showed the photographs of his house. Garage, his house, and then a photograph from far where you could see his house and the door, gate of his house. And the gate, there were two doors to the gate. On one gate was painted Baldev Subhadra and the other Jagannath. Beautiful painting. And I said, but this is Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in your house. Gate. People will know and they'll kill you. If I know, people think it's some fashion, latest fashion. We have presented it as a latest fashion thing. And then what we do, we get whatever we cook at home, we get it in front of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, the gate, we offer it and we run back inside and we honor prasadam. So this is the way this world is. Even today there are Hiranyakashipus who want to kill their own son. So what Narad Muni is telling Yudhishthira is not something, it's not a mythology, it's there. And look at Hiranyakashipu's plight. This person has got everything he wants and still he's so sad, he's so hurt that he can kill his own son. That means this also reveals one other thing, interesting thing that this pastime reveals is how this material world is nasty. Nobody is happy. See, there is one example of Chitraketu Maharaj, in Bhagavatam. He was so desperate to have a child that he kept marrying again and again and he married 10 million wives. And still he couldn't get a child. We were calculating that, how many years it would take him. It would take him 1,400 years or something to come back to his first wife. If he has to spend one day with each wife. He was, in Hindi, 10 million is called crore. So he was actually, technically also crore pati. Pati means husband. So Chitraketu Maharaj had 1 crore wives, but no child. He was miserable. And we have Anga, King Anga in the Bhagavatam, who was desperate to have a saintly child. And he got as a child who? Veena. And Veena was such a terrible child that when playing as a child, he would kill his friends in game. So Anga was so terrified by the activities of his evil son Veena that he took sannyas. He left the kingdom and he ran away. And look at Hiranyakashipu. He wanted a cruel, wicked son. He got a saintly son. He was also miserable. I'm sure Anga and Hiranyakashipu would have loved to have an exchange scheme. Anga would have loved to have Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu would have loved to have Veena. Hiranyakashipu must have thought, my son will be like Veena. But that's the way the world is. We will never get what we want. And we will always get what we don't want. That is the definition of misery. Misery means when we get what we don't want and we don't get what we want. So this is the state of Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad is growing up, and as he's growing up, Shanda and Amarka, who are the teachers whom we saw in the drama. So Shanda and Amarka, they tell Hiranyakashipu that they are sons of Shukracharya. They tell him that we will train your son nicely. So they take him to school, they train him, and when he comes back, after training, after a few days, Hiranyakashipu asks him, "My dear Prahlad, what is the best thing you've learnt in school?" And Prahlad says, "Tat sadhu manye suravarya dehinam sada samudvigna diyama sadgrahat hitvatma patam grahamandakupam vanam gatoyad harimashrayeta." My dear, best of the asuras, Hiranyakashipu, he calls his father as best of the demons. He says, "Please leave all this material attachment and take shelter of Krishna. Because you are in andakupam, you are suffering in a blind well." What a risk Prahlad is taking. He is telling his father to go and take shelter of Vrindavan, to take shelter of Krishna, Lord Vishnu. Prahlad could have been diplomatic if he wanted. He could have secretly chanted Hare Krishna at home. And he could have told his father, when his father asked him, "What is the favorite subject you have in school?" He could have said, "Geography." Or he could have, if he really wanted to please his father, he could have said, "Political science." But he didn't say any of that. He just came to the point. "My dear father, you are suffering." This is Bhagavatam's mood. Bhagavatam doesn't flatter us. Bhagavatam is very straight. That you are suffering. Get out of this material world. And Hiranyakashipu, what was his response when Prahlad said this? Anybody knows what was his response? Interesting response. Nobody knows. I'm sure some of you know. "Well done." Hiranyakashipu laughed. He said, "Oh, the intelligence of my child is spoiled by the enemy who has entered our camp in disguise. So you should do something about it," he tells Shanda and Amarka. Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport there, "Devotee should also enter the enemy's camp in disguise." And we should preach and distribute books. So Shanda and Amarka were shocked when they heard him say this. they took the child away. Prahlad, where did you learn all this? We are your friends. Please tell us. We are your friend. Please tell. Who's telling you all these things? And Prahlad immediately says, what are you talking about, friends, enemies? Nobody is our enemy. We are all children of Lord Vishnu. Let us love God. Let us be friendly with everyone. And Srila Prabhupada writes one of the most important purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam to this verse. He says, every devotee should be friendly in the service of Krishna. We should always praise other service. This is Vaikuntha thinking. We should only appreciate and not condemn other services. And let us allow everyone to serve Krishna according to their capacity. This is one of the most beautiful instructions Srila Prabhupada gives. And Srila Prabhupada practiced it. Once Trivikram Maharaj came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, Yamuna Devi, she was that time very busy in temple. She was doing 6 times offerings, taking care of the deities. But Trivikram Maharaj wanted her to go and distribute books. So he told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Yamuna is so uncooperative. She doesn't go for Sankirtan. And Prabhupada immediately said, but she sings so nicely. And he said, but Prabhupada, she's so uncooperative. We want her to go on Sankirtan and she's giving different excuses. Prabhupada said, oh, she dresses the deity so beautifully. Then again, Trivikram Maharaj said something more and Srila Prabhupada said, she's a great cook, isn't she? But then Maharaj realized, oh, Srila Prabhupada is telling me, just see the good. Just see all the wonderful services she is doing. So Shanda and Amarga get very angry. They say, who taught you this? That we should not have duality. We should always appreciate. Who's teaching you all this? Tell us. Tell us. And then Prahlad says, Yata Brahma Tayo Brahman Swayamakarsha Sannido Tatame Vidyate Chetas Chakrapane Yadrichaya. My dear teachers, my heart is attracted to Krishna spontaneously like an iron filing is attracted towards a magnet. I am unable to stop it. So Shanda and Amarka get very angry. They say, this child deserves to be beaten. He's a child of the enemy. And this child has appeared. Now look at this analogy they give, Shanda and Amarka. This child has appeared as a thorn in the forest of beautiful sandalwood. So they are calling themselves as a forest of sandalwood. So then they decide we should work on the child better. So now the second innings starts. For this time they teach Prahlad all the crooked stuff, all the politics. And then Prahlad is brought back to his father. His father puts Prahlad on his lap and he smells his head and he kisses him and tears of affection drops down from Hiranyakashipu's eyes. And he says, my dear Prahlad, what is the best thing you've learnt in school? And Prahlad says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnum Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktischenava Lakshana Kriyate Bhagavati Adda Tanmanne Ditamuttamam. My dear father, I have learned that the highest thing is worship Krishna according to this 9 process of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Padasevanam. And as Hiranyakashipu sits shocked, Srila Prabhupada writes a 15-page purport to this verse. 15 pages. Why? Srila Prabhupada has written a 15-page purport. So that we read it. So that we read and we understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying. Now, Hiranyakashipu could have actually ignored. Have you seen sometimes 4-5-year-old children, they speak sometimes incoherently. Or sometimes they may even chastise you. But what is the reaction of a grown-up person when a 5-year-old child says something? Oh, such a cute child. Or at best you may ignore. He could have celebrated the fact that he has 3 sons who have bought his vision. And one child is maybe a maverick, maybe he's a little eccentric. Forget him. But he gets offended because he hates Vishnu so much that instead of ignoring what the child is saying, he gets wild. And then he looks at Shanda and Amarka says, You are not teachers, you are cheaters. You are teaching this to my child. Are you from my enemy's camp? And Shanda and Amarka says, my dear king, please don't speak like this to us. We are sons of Brahmana. We are very loyal to you. He has spontaneous attraction to Krishna. We can't help it. For then Hiranyakashipu looks at Prahlad and says, you rascal, if your teachers do not teach you this, where did you get this knowledge from? And when Hiranyakashipu asks this question, Prahlad says 3 verses which are considered as Srimad Bhagavatam classic verses. Srila Prabhupada would quote these three verses many times. So Srila Prahlad Maharaj says three things to Hiranyakashipu in three verses. First he tells him, my dear father, what is your problem? He explains to his father what his problem is. And then he tells him what is the future, what awaits his father. And the third verse he gives a practical solution by which his father can be saved. First he says, Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Bipadeta Griha Vritanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punascharvita Charvananam. He says, my dear father, you are like a person who cannot understand Krishna by his own intelligence. You cannot understand Krishna if somebody else convinces you. You cannot understand by the combined effort of yourself and others. You are in such a terrible state. You are only chewing that which is already chewed. I mean, a very graphic example. Just imagine somebody chews a bubble gum and he sucked out everything and he's kind of bored with it and he spits it out. And somebody comes and grabs that. I'm sorry for this, but you get the point, right? That is material sense gratification. So Prahlad is telling his father that sense gratification is like chewing that which is already chewed. My dear father, give it up. And what is the result of this? If you don't give it up, what will happen to you? Nate vidu swartha gatim mi Vishnu durashayae bairartha manina andaya tande rupaniya manas tepi shatantra murudamni baddha. You will fall into a blind well and you will carry thousands of your followers into that blind well. And you will be bound by terrible reactions. Your life is unfortunate. Please save yourself. And I have a simple solution for you. Then Prahlad gives a very simple solution which is applicable for all of us. Naisha matista vadurukramangrim sparshat anartha pagamoyadartha mai asam padarajo bishekam nishkinchananam navrinita yavat. My dear father, just smear your body with the dust of the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Just take shelter of a pure devotee, you will be saved. Somehow get attached to some devotee of Krishna. This is what Prahlad replies. And what is Hiranyakashipu's reaction this time? He picks up Prahlad and throws him on the ground. And his eyes become red like molten copper. And with great anger, he says, this child deserves to be killed. He is the one I have realized. He is the one who has killed my brother Hiranyaksha. He is untrustworthy. And oh Vishnu, he looks up. Hiranyakashipu looks up at Vishnu. And he says, oh Vishnu, you must be very happy now that my child has become your devotee, but you don't trust him. If he can't obey his own father, he will not be loyal to you also. And just like when the bodily limbs are diseased, sometimes to save the body we have to cut the limb. So this Prahlad has to be killed. And he looks at his demons and the demons immediately start shouting. They are excited. So they start shouting, cut him, chop him, pierce him, kill him. And they all start attacking him with different weapons. But nothing happens to Prahlad. He doesn't get injured. Then they make elephants walk over him. They throw him in a pit filled with snakes. Nothing happens. They throw him on fire. Nothing happens. And then Hiranyakashipu tells his own wife that take this poison mixed in milk and feed it to Prahlad. She says, he's my son, I can't do that. Hiranyakashipu says, first you are my wife, then his mother. I order you. And she knows Prahlad has been saved all this time. Prahlad will be saved this time also. So she gives Prahlad that poisonous kheer. Prahlad looks at that kheer and he remembers Lord Vishnu because it reminds him of Shirodakshaya Vishnu. Lord Vishnu lying on the milk ocean. So remembering Vishnu, he drinks that. And then after all this effort, Hiranyakashipu, what happens to him? And you know, Prahlad is saved all the time. And what is Hiranyakashipu's reaction? Anybody knows? Hiranyakashipu gets depressed. And he needs psychiatric counseling. He starts sitting in his palace and he says, I think I cannot kill this child. I think this boy will kill me. No, maybe he won't kill me. Oh, he's like a dog's tail that cannot be straightened. What will happen? Oh, I'm so depressed. Then Shanda and Amarka, they come, they can't see their king like this. They come and say, oh dear king, don't worry, give us third chance. This is the third time we'll take him. Because first two times they failed. This time we will ensure that he becomes a pakka demon. So they take him. And this time Prahlad does what he has never done before. He starts preaching to his classmates and tells them, take shelter of Lord Vishnu, chant his names. Vishnu is not our enemy, he is our best friend. And forget about sense gratification. Sense gratification is available even to the animals. We are all lost. Let's take shelter of Krishna. This is what he tells his friends. We are all lost in this material world. I remember one man, one person who joined the temple, one devotee, his uncle came looking for him, and his uncle thought maybe he had joined ISKCON temple. And he came looking for him in our temple, and one of our brahmacharis was sitting in the reception. And he said, my nephew is lost. I come looking for him. Is he in this temple? So this brahmachari got inspired, because he was reading Prahlad's this prayer, where Prahlad is saying we are all lost in the material world. So he said, oh, your nephew is lost. Oh, Prahlad is saying the same thing. But do you know something? He told this man. Do you know something? You are also lost. He said, I am lost. So this brahmachari said, do you know the goal of life? He said, no. He said, sit, I'll tell you. So he preached to him. And this man was so impressed by Prahlad's teachings that he went on to become a devotee. Today is Sundarananda Prabhu in our congregation. And he is an initiated devotee, chanting 16 rounds. Because he heard Prahlad's teachings that we are all lost in this material world. So then Prahlad says, we spend half our life goes in sleeping. Because night time is half the time. And then the rest half goes in playing. So he starts giving all calculations. And ultimately we are left with only this much time, little time. Once His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj came to our temple and he wanted to make this point, how we have very little time for bhakti. And you know how Maharaj teaches? He's a great teacher. So you know what he did? He asked, who is the oldest here? Who is above 90 years old? There was one Valmiki Muni Prabhu. He made him stand and told him to go to the corner of the hall. We have a long temple hall. And then we had one child, like our Giriraj, 3-year-old. He made that child stand in the other corner of the temple hall. And he had bought one long piece of paper cloth, a paper, long piece. He had rolled it and he removed it. So the child was holding it at one end of the temple hall. And that old Prabhuji, Valmiki Muni Prabhu, was holding it at the other end. Then Maharaj said, this is our lifespan. It is so long. 100 years. But half the time goes in sleeping. So he came to the middle of the paper hall and he removed a big scissors from his pocket and he cut it. And then he made this child come forward. So then they were together, close. And then Maharaj said, and then this is much life we have. And then we waste half of it in mundane activities and politics. And then he cut half. So like this, he kept cutting and ultimately we were left with this much cloth. So this is the way he conveyed this point, that how we are wasting our lives without Krishna. And then he chants some of the most beautiful verses to his friends about how we get entangled, how a man starts, how a man, woman come together for enjoyment and how they get attached to things. They'll end up getting attached to even things like their own furniture. It's very graphic descriptions, how we, like a silkworm gets entangled in the cocoon that it weaves. Similarly, we get karmani loba, the vitripta kama, we get attached because of our attachment to belly and tongue and genitals. This pulls us like this. Very amazing instruction. And children are shocked. They say, Prahlad, you have grown up with us. You are 5-year-old like us. Where did you learn all this? Who taught you all this? And to them, Prahlad reveals that when he was in the womb of his mother, the devatas had kidnapped his mother to kill her. But Narad Muni had told the devatas, don't kill this lady because the child in her womb is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. And then he instructed my mother, but my mother was a simple person. She just went off to sleep when Narad Muni was instructing. But I was in the womb, I was awake and I heard the whole thing. And that's how I remember everything. So then he tells his friends, let us chant. They all start chanting Hare Krishna. And there's a loud kirtan going on in school. And Shanda and Amarka, they just go crazy. Till now they were okay. He was doing bhakti alone. And then they start shouting. Now the virus is spreading everywhere. And they bring him in front of Hiranyakashipu and they report what has happened. And Hiranyakashipu starts hissing like a snake that has been trampled. With his crooked eyes, he looks at Prahlad and he says, that He says something very interesting, but before that we need to know Prahlad. You know, Hiranyakashipu had chance again. He could have still forgiven Prahlad. He had so many wonderful sons. And in anger he tells him, He durvinita mandatman kulabeda karadama stabdamma shasanodrattam neshetvadya yamakshayam. I'll send you to Yamaraj. You are durvinita, you are impudent, you are a stupid fool, you are a disturbance in our family, you are stubborn. So he gives actually gali, what we say. But look at our acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur takes the same verse which Hiranyakashipu speaks. And he takes each word and he presents it as a glorification of Prahlad. It's durvinita. Durvinita means you impudent. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur breaks the word and says it comes out as durvinita means a person who is going to teach us how to get out of the material world. So he says Mother Saraswati had entered Hiranyakashipu's mouth and he said this apparently to curse his son, but this is actually a glorification of Prahlad, because he is telling Prahlad, you are the one who will take us out of material world. And you are Mandatman, stupid fool. But Mandatman also means somebody who is a guide for all fools. He calls him Kulabeda. You are a disgrace to the family. And this also means all families are insignificant in front of you. Stabdam means stubborn. Stabdam also means somebody who is stubborn against evil elements. And Yamakshayam means I'll send you to Yamaraj. But this also means you are the one who will deliver me from Yamaraj. So like this, our acharyas, they give a nice twist. Because they always want to glorify the devotee. So Hiranyakashipu gets very angry with Prahlad. And he says, from where are you getting this strength and this outrageous confidence? Where is this confidence coming from? And that time Prahlad says, all this is coming from Lord Vishnu. He is the source of my power. My dear father, he is the source of your power also. In former time, there were fools like you who did not trust Lord Vishnu. But I beg you, please understand, Lord Vishnu is not your enemy. Your mind is your enemy. And when Hiranyakashipu hears this, he becomes more angry. Payopanam bhujanganam kevalam vishavardhanam upadeshoi murkanam prakopayana shante. If you advise a foolish person, he gets more angry. It is like feeding milk and bananas to a snake. Srila Prabhupada says the story of Itopadesha, where some birds told the monkey that, you know, in the rain you are getting wet. Why don't you make a nice nest like we have made and be happy? The monkey got angry with the birds and he went and destroyed their nest. So Srila Prabhupada said Hiranyakashipu was like that. He was being given good advice. So he got very angry. He said, oh, unfortunate Prahlad, today you have decided to die in my hands. I'll kill you, but before killing you, I'll prove to you that your power is not coming from Vishnu and Vishnu is not powerful. Vishnu is not God. You tell me first, where is he? So Prahlad says, he's everywhere. Lord Vishnu says, Hiranyakashipu says, is he there in this pillar? And Prahlad says, yes. And then Hiranyakashipu says, before killing you, I'll prove that your God is not anywhere. So then he takes his right fist and he hits it hard on the pillar. And the column starts shaking and trembling. And at that moment, a fearful, deafening sound is heard. The sound appears to crack the whole universe. And at that time, Shukadev Goswami describes, Satyam vidatum nijabritya bhashitam vyaptim chabuteshu akileshu chatmana adrishyatayad adbutarupam udvahan stambe sabayam namrugam namanusham. Hiranyakashipu realizes that the pillar is broken and Lord Narasimhadev has appeared. Na mrigam, na manusham. He is not an animal, he is not a human. And Lord appears simply satyam vidatum, to prove the words of his devotee correct. Nijabhritya bhashitam, to prove his words correct, Lord has appeared. And this is how Lord Narasimhadev appears. Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. And Hiranyakashipu looks at this creature and says, who is this creature? What is this creature? Lord Narasimhadev's eyes are like molten gold. His mane is beautifully golden. He has sharp teeth. His tongue, he starts taking it out and it appears as if a sword. He's moving a sword. His nostrils and mouth are like caves of a mountain. And the hairs on his body are like the moon rays. They are white. And just like a small insect falls into fire, it has no chance. Hiranyakashipu, when he starts fighting with Lord Narasimhadev, he has no chance. And he creates his mystic powers. Hiranyakashipu flies into the sky. And then Lord Vishnu catches him. But what does Lord Vishnu do after catching him? Releases him. just like a cat loves to play with the mice before actually killing him. Actually, Lord Narasimhadev appeared in the afternoon. And they kept fighting till evening. And Lord Narasimhadev kept releasing him, catching him, playing with him. Because he was enjoying his virarasa. But Lord, and Hiranyakashipu was thinking, I'm winning. See, this is how the Lord's material energy works in our lives. We think I'm controlling, I'm conquering. And suddenly we get, last minute we get lost, you know. Like, I remember many years ago, India was playing Pakistan in a hockey match. And we were celebrating, we were cheering, and Indian team was winning. It was Asia Cup finals. India was leading 2-0. And all the celebrations started already. And last few minutes, Pakistan team came and they scored 8 goals. So, completely smashed. So that's what material nature does with us. We think I'm great, I'm conquering, I'm doing well, and suddenly last. So that's what Hiranyakashipu faced with, in front of Lord Narasimhadev. He's thinking he's winning, and what happened as Hiranyakashipu was fighting, all the devtas were watching this fight from the clouds. They had a balcony seat. They were watching this, and when Hiranyakashipu would escape and he would look up, and devtas got scared. Oh, he's looking at us. Tomorrow he's going to make a note. And if he survives this fight, then he may get back to us. But then Lord Narasimhadev catches Hiranyakashipu just when it is a dusk time, and he puts him on his lap, and he tears apart his chest, and he removes his intestines, and puts it on himself as a garland. It's gruesome, but in dramas we generally laugh, because, you know, in drama it appears funny. Like last year in a temple we did a drama, Narasimhadev forgot to remove the intestines, and he was like roaring. He was excited because everybody was cheering. And then Hiranyakashipu, he removed it. And he put it. Drama is like that, but you can imagine what a gruesome sight that must have been, tearing his chest and taking out the intestines and putting it. And as he's dying, Hiranyakashipu realizes, oh, this is not a man, this is not an animal. I'd asked for this benediction. And I'm dying at the door of the house, not inside, not outside. And I'm on his lap. This is neither land nor the sky. And he's killing me through his nails. Nails is neither living nor dead. Because nails is called as a vestigial organ of the body. It's a waste. But at the same time, it grows. So you can't say it is not having life. So Lord Narasimhadev resolves all paradoxes, all contradictions. And after killing, it's not that Lord Narasimhadev is peaceful, he's extremely angry. After killing Hiranyakashipu, he starts roaring and everybody is scared. And Brahmaji comes with all the denizens and everybody starts offering prayers. There's a whole chapter, prayers from residents of Nagaloka, Gandharvas come, Pishachas, Pitras, Kimpurushas, Vetalas, Shiva, Indra, Brahma, Vidyadharas, Manus, everybody offers prayers and Lord keeps roaring. He's not pacified at all. He's extremely angry. That's why if you go to South India, there is a temple of Lord Narasimhadev at Simhachalam. He's an extremely angry form. So what they do, you know, this is very interesting. Lord Narasimhadev's deity, you can never see his deity form. His deity is completely covered with thick sandalwood. Whole year, only sandalwood. Only on Akshaya Tritiya they remove the sandalwood. And throughout the year, they only keep putting sandalwood on his body. When Srila Prabhupada went there to Vishakhapatnam with his disciples, and disciples asked, why is so much sandalwood on the Lord? So Srila Prabhupada said, so witty, you know, he said, this is to keep the Lord cool-headed. So he is very angry after killing Hiranyakashipu. Nobody could satisfy Lord Narasimhadev. And then Brahmaji turns to Prahlad and says, Prahlad, you are responsible for all of this. So they send Prahlad in front. So when Prahlad goes in the front of the Lord, Lord immediately abandons his anger and he just picks up Prahlad and starts licking him like a lion licks his own cub. So nobody could satisfy the Lord except Prahlad. And then Prahlad offers a garland. And then there is a beautiful prayers that Prahlad offers. And in all these prayers, which I have been told to give class tomorrow as well. So tomorrow we'll take up prayers that Prahlad Maharaj offers to Lord Narasimhadev. But the essence of these prayers is only glorifying Lord Vishnu, Lord Narasimhadev. And although it is clearly established for all time to come, that Brahmaji and all the devtas are insignificant compared to Prahlad, it is obvious now. But Prahlad in all his prayers glorifies Brahmaji. In the sense, beginning, end and middle prayers, he acknowledges that Brahmaji is superior to me. He never, and in middle of the prayers, Lord Narasimhadev looks at Brahmaji and chastises him. Never give such benedictions again. You put me in so much trouble. And after that, Prahlada offers obeisances to Brahmaji. He doesn't think that Brahmaji is wrong. He just very Krishna conscious. And he offers some of the most beautiful prayers. And Lord Narasimhadev says, Prahlada asks for a benediction. And Prahlada says, my dear Lord, I am not a merchant. I don't want anything from you. And then Lord Narasimhadev says, I order you, ask for benedictions. I order you to enjoy material life. For us, the Lord has to order us, don't enjoy material life. So then the Lord, then Prahlad says, if at all you want to give me a benediction, please give me the benediction that, please forgive my father for all his offenses. Because my father loved me, he embraced me when I came from school and he smelt my head and he kissed me and I saw a drop of tear in his eyes. So Prahlad chooses to remember only that good which is father. See, now in Vaishnava dealings, we see our devotee, we see all wonderful qualities in a devotee. I'll just take 1 minute more, okay? 2 minutes more. So Prahlad saw Hiranyakashipu was filled with so much faults, but he saw only one good quality. Now we are living with devotees, we see only wonderful qualities, but sometimes some devotee does something wrong, we choose only to remember that. This is the difference between us and Prahlad. Prahlad remembers that instance when his father loved him, and Lord Narasimhadev says, what to speak of your father? Your 21 generations are delivered. So we need to have faith today in Lord Narasimhadev. There is one beautiful temple in South India called, a place called Mangalgiri. There is Pana Narasimha temple, where Lord Narasimhadev's mouth is very big, and he drinks panaka, which means jaggery water. And anybody who comes to the temple, this has been happening for millions of years, I saw it live. Any cup you take, you could take a big jar, you could take a small cup. When you put that pana inside the mouth of Lord Narasimhadev, he accepts only half. As soon as he accepts half, he makes a sound. You can't give me more. So, lakhs and millions of people come there every year. And they feed Narasimhadev. And there is so much of jaggery water everywhere. And you know, whenever there is jaggery, you will find ants. But in this temple, there are no ants. And Lord Narasimhadev is drinking the love of his devotees. Come, give me jaggery water. And as soon as he accepts half, he says, I am satisfied. Now the remaining half is your prasad. And when we went there first time, I was so, you know, because of our nasty mind, I was saying, where does this go? Is there a pipe which takes it? Is there some canal system? So I went to my spiritual master and asked him, Maharaj, where does it actually go? He said, Lord Narasimhadev drinks it. Lord Narasimhadev drinks it. So that's the faith we need to have, that Lord Narasimhadev drinks it. Lord Narasimhadev accepts our love. And today let us offer our heartfelt prayers. We have now time for till sunset. We can do different services like kirtan and cooking or whatever and book distribution. Whatever services we do, we can pray to Lord Narasimhadev to destroy the Hiranyakashipu. We have not one, but many Hiranyakashipus in our heart. But Lord can easily slay them. So with this prayer and with this remembrance, let us make our day most auspicious. Shri Narasimhadev Bhagavan ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much.